Hey everyone. Before I begin this next episode, I definitely want to give out two shout outs. The first one, a shout out to my first guest of this podcast, to Natsuki. Check out his website. It's a travel guide website. You know, I know Tokyo is really great and Kyoto is really great and Osaka is really great, but I think everyone deserves to go and visit northern Japan, which is the Hokkaido prefecture. My buddy Natsuki has been working hard doing his travel guide service of the central region of Hokkaido. Check out his website. It's called treasurefurano.com. One more time, treasure, and then one word, treasurefurano, F-U-R-A-N-O.com. If you check out the website and you scroll all the way down, it's in Japanese originally, but if you go all the way down, there is a Google Translate and you can just select English all the way down the page of the homepage, and you can check out all the different activity lists that he can provide, whether it's rafting or horseback riding in central Hokkaido, fishing, kayaking, trekking, you know, dog sledding in the wintertime, paragliding. I think he's done a great job showing and introducing these tour packages for anyone who is interested to visit Hokkaido, especially in the Asahikawa and Furano region of Hokkaido. So yeah, if you are interested and if you're that outdoorsy type, check it out. The second thing I want to promote and give a shout out is to my buddy Akil Watson. He is doing a great Japan podcast called Japan According to Akil Podcast. You know, he's doing something that is great for anyone who is ready for coming to Japan, or you know, he's kind of like in the same school as me, you know, people who he's a podcaster that is trying to find another niche where outside of that typical cool Japan role and giving you much more insight, more things that you need and things that you probably don't realize that you need when you're coming in Japan. So check out his web podcast, and I believe he also has a YouTube channel, but you can just search Japan According to Akil Podcast. And yeah, I think he brings a wealth of information and just, you know, giving you some insight of another foreigner and of what it's like to live in Tokyo and around Japan. So yeah, do yourself a favor and check out treasurefurano.com and Japan According to Akil Podcast. So let's continue on with the show. Hey there. Welcome to Made in Japan, Conversations with Meljo Catalan. This is my podcast about Japan, but it's not just your run-of-the-mill Cool Japan podcast. I want to explore a side of Japan besides sushi and sumo, anime and the video games. I'm here to extrapolate and meditate with the local people that your travel guide probably doesn't touch on. People that are hungry for making it and people that have made it. This podcast is my talks with them. Hi all, I hope you are all doing well, and I've been enjoying myself this April because it is the cherry blossom season in Japan, especially in Tokyo. The cherry blossoms trees are blooming, so for those who know me well, this is my season. This is my season to hang outside and go around, and you know, amidst all the people who suffer from hay fever, which I do a little bit, but I go out and I'm just enjoying the season where the cherry blossoms bloom for, you know, the the 2 weeks or less that it survives before, you know, the flower petals fall. So yeah, that's been me. However, on this episode, I am going to talk with one Kento Sugiyama. Kento is an indie rocker. I'm gonna give you guys a little introduction into, well, yeah, a very, very on the surface introduction into the Japanese indie rock scene, and Kento is in it. Kento, he has his own band called Kenti. Very folksy slash a little bit like, on, you know, he describes himself as early Neil Young, but I also hear a little bit of like early Velvet Underground in it. But as you can hear, you know, when you hear the interview, you'll know where he comes from and his influences. But anyways, we're going to discuss a little bit, a touch on what the indie rock scene is in Tokyo, and especially for two neighborhoods, the neighborhoods of Shimokitazawa and Asagaya, Koenji, and Nakano. Two neighborhoods that are very close to each other but quite different, even though they are great outlets for artists and musicians. So anyways, this is going to be a very a nice episode of trying to get into what's it like playing in an indie rock band and trying to live that rock and roll rock star dream in Tokyo. So without further ado, this is Kento Sugiyama. Here we go.
I'm all right.
Yeah?
I'm good.
You're good. It's been so long.
I think 10 or 15. Not 15.
Not
I think
15 years. No. Because we had a... I met you a few years back with our mutual friends from England.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then we were hanging out at the Irish pub.
Right? In Jigaoka.
And then I was like, this was... That was a good time. Mm. That was a good time to reminisce. But... yeah, you look good. You look much more indie rocker than last time.
Well, I got fucked.
No, you know, you're still the same height, but you don't look that. No.
Well, I think when I met you first time, it's 19 or 20.
Yeah, you were 19. And
I went to Seijinshiki.
Right. Mm. I remember, so Kento, let me talk about the first time I met you. Mm. It was with my other roommate, Alex.
Right? Alex, yeah.
Right? And Alex was the one that told me, he's like, dude, the person I work with, he's like 19, but he looks like he's from the
1960s. Yeah, I had a mop top.
With a mop top, yeah.
With a skinny tie.
You gotta meet him. You gotta meet him. I'm like, okay. And then we met you. I'm like, holy crap. He is from the 1960s. But you looked older than your age.
Really?
Yeah, you did. You looked really mature, you know, hanging out and just like, hey, I like the Beatles.
how was my personality?
Like a shy 19-year-old.
Could be.
I get into, you know, I can tell you're into music, but I wasn't sure what type of music you were in.
Of course, Beatles.
It was
like early Rolling Stones.
Okay. Tell me, let's talk about from the beginning. Like, what inspired you from getting into rock music?
Well, my inspire. My parents loves music a lot.
Yeah.
They told me like Beatles, Rolling Stones, Led Zeppelin, like a 60s or 70s, because the generation's music. Mm-hmm. I got into that kind of music.
Okay, so they were also huge Beatles fans and Stones fans. Okay. So did they take you to any concerts?
Not really.
Okay.
But they have also Legos, or vinyls and CDs. So.
Ah, okay. What were they doing? What was their job at that time?
They?
Yeah.
My father is just a normal salaryman.
Yeah, yeah.
But he used to play the drum on the band.
That is amazing.
But not professional.
Okay.
But,
as a hobby?
Yeah.
Okay.
And also he still plays drum in Bossa Nova group right now with...
That's amazing.
That's funny. He told me rock and roll music a lot, but now he plays in Bossa Nova. I don't know why.
Well, did you get into Bossa Nova as well?
Not really.
Okay.
I just listening
yeah.
a few songs, like Sergio Mendes or something. Mm-hmm. But not it's really funny thing for me.
What is the name of their band?
I don't know. Next time
talk to him. Okay. So, what was your mother doing?
My mother is just a housewife.
Housewife, right? Mm. Okay. So, but they were very musically inclined. They love music. Okay. Can you tell me your very first rock concert you went to?
My first rock concert is Paul McCartney, 2002, I think.
Oh wow!
Tokyo Dome.
Wow! How was that?
Wow! Really exciting. Mm. But actually, I don't remember all stuff because okay. really exciting. Just right. see the Paul McCartney,
right.
what they play
right.
few famous songs, yeah. but I was very blank. Well, just Paul McCartney.
How old were you at that time?
I think 13 years old.
You are a lucky man for going to see Paul McCartney that young.
Mm.
You know, so when you saw him. Of course, you said you didn't remember, but like, did you feel his aura? Did you feel...
Yeah, huge
his aura.
Yeah.
Okay. So after that, tell me about how you got into, you know, so you saw concerts with your parents. Tell me how you got into learning music or studying music.
Well, naturally, I tried to play guitar before listening to music.
Right.
And after... listen to music. Mm. So I just checked my parents' collections of vinyl CDs.
Any albums that you really, really got inspired to?
Well, I think Led Zeppelin is one of the most...
Oh, hell yeah.
And the Japanese one called Happy End.
Happy End, okay. Mm. Was it similar? Happy End, were they similar to Led Zeppelin?
Not so similar, but similar to like a Neil Young or Buffalo Springfield, like a folk... with messages.
Mm. So if anyone, any foreigner that would like to get into like indie folk, Japanese indie folk, this is the band.
Yeah,
Happy End. Okay. I need to check them out too.
Yeah. It's a really great groove and really nice feeling. After the Happy End, the bassist are going to be Yellow Magic Orchestra.
Right, okay.
So I play Yellow Magic Orchestra.
Okay. I know that band, because that band, everyone talks about YMO.
Mm.
So this was like 13, 14, 15?
15 or 16.
Okay. Did you pick up playing any instruments?
Just guitar. Electric guitar.
So what about your dad? You weren't interested in drums? Or?
Yeah, she tried to join my... music.
Yeah.
But every child thinks like that with parents is not like, so...
It's not cool at all.
Yeah, not cool. Exactly. It's okay, but...
Yeah, I don't know how I'd feel if my dad played guitar with me. I'd probably feel not cool at all either.
Especially a teenager.
Right. Okay, so did you have your own band?
Yeah.
And 13?
Yeah, no, my first band is 15.
Okay.
With my junior high schoolmates.
What was the name of your band?
I don't know, I forget. But I imitated from Beatles, like Beats something.
Sure. Was that when you started having your mop top haircut?
No, really.
Okay.
When I was junior high school, I shaved my hair.
Oh, okay. Mm. And then you were playing in
playing
the Beatles in a band. Okay. Did you perform in public?
Not really.
Okay.
My first band is broke up.
Okay. That's hilarious. All right.
My first gig is when I was high school, 16.
16.
High school festival.
Okay. What type of band was it?
Still play Beatles, but yeah. It's really interesting for me. It's
yeah.
like half Beatles, half Sex Pistols. Totally opposite, but a kind of mixture.
Right.
And then the drummer really loves Nirvana and Metallica. So high energy drumming
right.
with Beatles song. That's really crazy.
But we've always, I think any young musician always had experience that mm. where, you know, you want to get a band together with your friends,
mm.
but everyone is like, so yeah, the drummer likes Metallica and Nirvana. Like you like the Beatles just, and like someone else is like, wait a minute, I love Bob Marley and I play the bass. Well, you're a bass player. Just come on in.
Yeah, that's exactly.
And then, like, it ends up like, you know, people, you know, the members start fighting. Like, what do we do?
Well, it's likely we didn't do argue or something.
Wow, like, okay.
Just playing.
Just covering everything.
Yeah.
So you are playing in a music festival. Your opening song would be like a Sex Pistols song?
Well, my opening song is A Hard Day's Night. The second song is God Save the Queen. The third song is En Sandman. But, oh, but actually, I grew up from like just rock and roll old style.
For sure.
So I couldn't play Metallica like metal
right,
guitar.
Right, like,
but
like
I tried to.
Right, right. Did you study any blues?
Yeah, blues is okay. One of my favorite
things. Okay. So, okay, besides like Paul McCartney and the Beatles, of course, did you have any other guitarists that you really were respected or inspired from?
My favorite guitarist is right now or just Roy George
okay,
from, I forget the name, in kind of American guitarist.
Yep. Why did you like him so much?
Well, his sound is really clean.
Okay.
Well, sometimes distorted, but mainly play clean. Right. They're really funky style.
Right.
He always related with songs and melodies.
Right. Okay. All right. So let's fast forward. All right. Yeah. You're moving on from high school. Okay. And then of course we met each other from through the English school.
Mm.
You know, but. I'm not concerned about that. I'm more concerned about what happened after we met. What did you do with your life, you know, after that job?
After I went back England to continue to study graphic design.
Okay.
Well, then I came back to Japan. So I went to design company.
Okay.
Mm.
Yeah, how many years in England?
About two years.
Okay. Where did you live?
In Camden Town.
Okay. I mean, tell me your experience. Like, how was it? Because
well,
as a kid, you know, a Beatles-loving kid, finally coming to England.
Well, before we went to England, I imagined some, like, mod or 60s
right.
or, like, a swing London.
Like, everyone is still in the 60s.
Yeah. that's really important for me. But, actually... There.
Yeah.
Because this is so far away distance.
Distance, right.
But it's really interesting for me. it's not have time machines.
Right,
so
right.
It's really fun for me.
Right. So you get there, were you like a little disappointed?
Not really.
Okay.
More excitement.
Okay. So were you able to see any bands in Camden?
Yeah. I went Paul Weller's show.
Okay.
He's a great musician.
Still. I've never seen him live.
Really?
Yeah. But he was amazing. Okay.
He has a really soulful style,
like
soul music.
Mm-hmm.
Big influence for him.
Okay.
Mm. Paul Weller, The Who.
The Who, okay, great. Were there any disappointments or anything surprising
when
you came to England that you were like... Because, you know, before you go to, you know, the country that you are, you know, really aspiring to travel to, you always have these high expectations, right?
And then you get there and you're like, oh, okay.
My disappointment is, not really. I don't know. I'm really stupid people. So it's okay. I'm always thinking about it's okay.
Right.
So, I don't have any negative
stuff. That's awesome. Okay. Was it... Did you ever have a chance to play any music in England or?
Not really.
Oh, okay. Just only like listening through.
Yeah.
Did you learn anything music-wise? Did you learn any new styles or any different types of music that you hadn't heard for before?
Yeah. Well, before I went to London, it's my style. It's more narrow.
Yeah.
Narrow.
Yeah.
But when went to England. After my mind is more open.
Open, right. All right, so you come back.
Yeah.
And then, so you started working as a designer, graphic designer?
Yeah.
Okay. But, so with graphic designing, were you still thinking about playing music at that same time?
Yeah, but really difficult to play music in a band because my work was really busy.
Right.
So it's hard to get band, but... when I left my company, I went to be freelance.
Yeah.
And then restart to get band.
How is it like? I don't know. Cause you could please tell my listeners about what's the indie rock community like in Japan. Because I don't know. Is it easy or difficult to find band members?
I think easy to find band members.
Okay.
But if you had band, you should go to the club or live house.
Okay. Did you watch any street performers?
No, not really.
Okay. So, you know, Kento, my image of Japanese indie rock is, so do you know the movie Detroit Metal City?
Yeah.
That was probably one of the very first movies I've seen concerning Japanese music in Japan. And the scene of, what's his name? Kenichi Matsuyama playing outside in Shimokita.
Yeah.
Like on the street with the dog is watching. Yeah. And then he's just like hopping around.
On the crossroads. That's really funny.
I was dying so much because he's a very sensitive, like very emo folk guitar singer guy, and just by himself, and his only like audience is this dog.
Mm.
But he's still peppy and just hopping around. He's hopping around playing his music. Mm. For some reason, that was my only image of Japanese indie rock.
That's kind of true, I think.
Just dog fans.
Well, on the street performance is really hard to catch audience.
Right.
On the club or live house is more easier.
Right. What is the scene now? What's in your opinion? What is the trend of music that is in that scene?
Well, I think each city has different scene because Shimokitazawa is more young. Like a punk beat.
Okay, yeah. So for people that don't know, Shimokitazawa, it's kind of like a very hipster type of neighborhood.
Yeah.
Very young. I guess in America, you'd very much equate it to these days I would say like the Lower East Side of Manhattan or even Williamsburg in Brooklyn, but much more younger, I believe.
University students, college students. Yeah. In there. And also actor and actress was there.
Yes. There's a big community for actors and actresses growing. But there are so many live houses and venues for anyone to, you know, that has a band. Yeah. You can play anywhere.
I think main place of mainstream indie rock place, I think.
Do you feel like if you are really popular, if you're a band and you're popular in Shimokita, can you make it in Japan?
I think so.
Okay.
You got the professional or major. One step closer
to the major
labels.
Okay. But you said different cities have a different type of music. Okay.
Shimokitazawa is more mainstream rock.
Yeah.
emo or something like that, more right. younger.
Right.
But I loved Koenji or Nakano.
Okay.
I'm living in Nakano now.
Now, mm-hmm. yeah.
Like more laid back or retro right. 60s or 70s.
So. Oh, so are they, are do you feel that in your neighborhood, everybody's more about like the classic rock?
Yeah.
Okay. So you don't hear any Metallica?
No. They love Metallica.
I think. Really? Okay. But they love it, but they usually just want to play the
like
old
a blues.
Blues. Okay. Okay.
For music.
And
also fashion clothes is yes. different from that.
It is. I do feel that. I feel it's different from Shimoki Tsutsawa.
And Koenji.
And in Koenji. But there's... They're quite close.
Close. Yeah. But trend is different, I think.
Yeah, well, I don't understand. Actually, can you...
I think...
Why is that?
I don't know. I think Koenji is much poorer than Shimokitazawa.
Okay. Like in terms of like yeah. the expenses
yeah.
in class. Okay.
And so many hippies in there.
Yeah, for some reason there's a bigger hippie community yeah. in hippie or bohemian community in yes. Koenji. Okay, but there are many live houses and there are many concert shows there, right?
Yeah, and also live houses, two or three live houses in there.
Okay,
but so many little shops.
Yeah,
they play busking.
Well, let's talk about your music and your bands. So I see your Instagram, and are you doing many projects?
No, just one project.
Okay, just one project now. What is the name?
My band called Kenti.
Kenti, right.
Kenti is my first nickname.
Right. But I've always called you Kento, though.
Yeah, Kento is better.
Well, so tell me what are you guys about? Like, how did you start?
And 1 year ago,
yeah.
we start.
Okay.
From Koenji.
Okay. Okay.
Music style like Ari Neil Young.
Okay. You've really gotten into Neil Young recently.
Yeah. More like a 60s or 70s
sure.
folk rock.
Sure.
And the mixture from like a funk music, like okay. a Sly and Family Stone.
Oh wow. Okay. I've only heard some video clips, but I would love to hear like a full song.
Mm.
Like so do you have any albums out or
no,
demos?
No.
Okay. Just starting.
Just starting.
Okay. So where were your favorite places to play?
My favorite places to play is Koenji UFO Club.
Okay, the UFO Club.
Because Intellia is psychedelic world.
Right. So it's still like a time warp.
Yeah.
Time traveling back yeah. to the 60s.
Okay. Also, audience wore old clothes. It's like Austin Powers. It's really like Austin Powers. That's really funny.
So do you have your own uniform or costume on stage?
Not really.
Okay. But so the audience, I mean, I'm curious because these days, to be honest, Kento, I haven't been to an actual... I've been to concerts with, you know, a band from overseas come in. But I honestly haven't been to a local show, you know, with a local Japanese community band. I'm curious, do you feel the indie rock community now, is everyone very, like, picky in the type of music they want to listen to?
I think so.
Okay.
It's hard to get in the club or something somewhere.
Okay. So for me growing up, I think I was very fortunate growing up with in a community and in my surrounding area, whether it was Connecticut, New York, or Boston, Massachusetts. I found, although I grew up from a hardcore punk and yeah, that community, and even hip hop, watching hip hop shows. I was very fortunate that there were many live houses and shows. In one night, you would, this is the 1990s, right? So in one night, there would be a ska band.
Mm.
And then next would be a hip-hop rap metal band. Mm. And then next would be a street punk band. And then another would be like a reggae, like Bad Brains type of vibe type of band. And then finally, like a straight up like, vegan straight edge hardcore band.
Really?
But what I loved about it was just there were so many different types of people.
Just one night.
Just one night gathering in one small.
That's awesome.
Everyone's just like looking around, like you could just see. It's like almost like colors of the rainbow. Like
that's great. That's
and,
nice.
And I that's why I fell in love in underground music, because it brings an underground sense of community of just artists sharing with each other. Everyone is coming from nothing and trying to, you know,
grow up
with each other. And then maybe taking and giving influences with each other. I don't find that in Tokyo.
I think so. It's hard to find that kind of party.
Why is that?
I don't know. I think organizer doesn't want
to do that. Is it something like, is it uncomfortable for fans?
I think uncomfortable for players.
Oh.
I don't know why.
But you don't mind if you were playing with like a death metal band next to you.
Yeah.
But I think, is it much more, okay, so it's for the musicians.
I think one of the big problem in indie live scene.
Okay. Well, so let's talk about the indie live scene. What do you suggest or what do you recommend? I mean, I'm sure there are many foreigners that come to Japan and they're very interested to play music. In whether it's Koenji or Nakano or Shimokita or even Shibuya, wherever. What do you recommend? How can foreigners, like, where should they start first? Like, where should they?
Well, I think if you want to go live show, it's really hard to find good show.
Okay.
But. Well, it's a hard question, I think.
Yeah.
Well,
are there any like websites or like social media groups?
Social media is the biggest promotion, I think.
Yeah.
But really hard to find it.
Okay. But so basically you just have to go and find the shows. Where would be the best live houses or venues that would be good for foreigners to see? UFO
is a great.
Okay. Do you recommend the other ones?
I think
so UFOs and Koenji?
Koenji.
Okay, Koenji UFO.
Ichibe is in Kichijoji.
Okay. Okay, so Kichijoji is kind of
central line.
Right, Chuo line, a little bit outside of Tokyo. West of Tokyo.
West of Tokyo. A good place.
Okay, so Ichibe. And Club UFO. What about in Shimokitazawa?
Well, actually, I'm not sure about Shimokitazawa.
Okay. Mm. Because there's so many. But yeah. I guess take your pick in the many, many rock. I guess people could search and take your pick. So what is your hope for you? What is your hope for your band? Like, what would you like to do in the future?
Well, I'm composer, so... I tried to make good song.
Yeah.
I think recording.
Okay.
I just want to show my songs to so many people.
Yeah. How can people listen to your music?
I think on YouTube.
Okay.
Oh. So live music.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Should they search Tenti?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, I'll put that down.
Great.
In the details. And anything else? Does your band have like a Facebook page or Instagram?
Yeah, SoundCloud.
SoundCloud. SoundCloud, Kenti.
Yeah.
And then YouTube.
YouTube.
Yeah. Okay, cool, man. Well, seriously, Kenzo, thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, and maybe someday I'll get to see you live. You know, when I have the time. And it was good to hang out and talk to you.
Great.
Thanks, bud.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, bud.
I'd like to thank Kento for coming out and doing this interview during his busy schedule working. So You can reach Kento and listen to his band on YouTube and SoundCloud. I'll put the links on the info for the podcast. But yeah, just search on YouTube and SoundCloud. Just search Kenti, K-E-N-T-I-E. And also, the two clubs he mentioned, I think those are pretty good clubs to try to get into and check out any of the local Japanese bands that play at those clubs. The first club is Club UFO at Koenji, Club Ichibei in Kichijoji, which is another neighborhood. I'll put those clubs' website links as well into the podcast episode details. So yeah, it was just a little taste of getting to see another side of Japan's the indie rock scene and what are some ways to get into it. So as you can see, I might have Kento back one more time to talk more about his band, or even something else, other music related thing. But yeah, this was a really good chance for you guys to listen to some kind of underground community that is, worthwhile to share. So anyways, you are listening to Made in Japan, Conversations with Meljo Catalan. You can hit me up with my email, which is japanmademepodcast@gmail.com, or search me through Facebook or Instagram, Made in Japan Podcast. Just search for that. I guarantee, though, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, definitely hit me up through the email. I'm mostly more active with the Instagram page, so feel free to message me on the Instagram page as well. Also, feel free to message me or comment, or if you have any questions, comments, and concerns about my podcast, or if you think any advices or tips, I am more than happy to listen to anything that you guys would say. You can also hit me up at my host site, Itch, which is anchor.fm. So yeah, thank you all for listening, and I will get back at you next time with another guest. So please take care. Peace out.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.